Hello and welcome to Free Period, the podcast where we talk about all things Hill, from current events and campus happenings to the paths that led our community members to their home away from home. I'm your host, Headmaster Zach Lehman, and today I'll be catching up with Senior Master Mark Nelson during his free period. We'll discuss how he landed the job at Hill, what it was like to date and later marry the dean's daughter, and how a swimmer from Southern Illinois found himself coaching JV baseball. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the journey.
I remember the first times the guys walking out of like graduation and a few of them just launching into the Dell. And people are like, what in the world is going on? And a bunch more of their friends jumped in as well. I remember that being like eye-opening. That was a crazy.
That was like 1983, I think.
Probably. I don't know the year, but I know it didn't happen like when I first was here. It definitely didn't happen. And then a few guys walked around that corner coming out of the old hockey rink. They just launched right in there. They'd obviously planned it. I don't know if any of their classmates had. Next thing you know, there's like a stream of people funneling in there. And that was like a tradition ever since. My name is Mark Nelson. I'm a senior master of science. I currently teach 4 biology classes. I'm the head coach of girls water polo and assistant coach of JV girls ice hockey.
So you said you're a senior master. Can you tell our audience what that means?
Yes, they recently created a program here to recognize teacher development. And to be a senior master, you have to have a minimum of 20 years of teaching. Get nominated for the position, and I guess all around be like a good person.
So I'm guessing you have a little more than 20 years of teaching?
Yes, I do.
You want to share how long have you been teaching at Hill?
So I've been at Hill. This marks my 40th year here. I came here right out of college for a little one-year stint, and I've been here ever since.
So 1 year turned into quite a few.
Yes, indeed.
40 years. Tell me a little bit more about how you grew up, where you grew up.
So I grew up in Southern Illinois, a place called Marion, Illinois, which is quite far south of Chicago area. We did live up there when I was very little up in Des Plaines, so maybe like kindergarten. I have almost no memory of that. Southern Illinois is fairly rural, much like central Pennsylvania, I would say. A lot of rolling hills. It's much more like Kentucky. We lived out on a lake. So we grew up like swimming, canoeing, fishing. My parents were really outdoorsy.
Is that where you first got your love for the outdoors?
Yeah, that's definitely where I first got my love for the outdoors. So we were always outdoors like every day. Friends from school would come out sailing, canoeing, water skiing, whatever, messing around at the lake, basically doing what kids do. It was a pretty rural area. I think the closest town was maybe about 15 miles away. And maybe it had like 10, 12,000 people. It was small. So there was a regional high school that everybody probably within a 30-mile radius went to. It was a fairly big school, 1,200 students, 10 through 12. At that point, I was doing in high school track and football, but I had taken up swimming for the local YMCA maybe when I was like 10 or 12 years old. My mom was a high school Latin teacher, and somehow she befriended the local swim coach. He loved to fish, and we lived right on a really good fishing lake. So he was at the house one day, sees us messing around in the lake, says, hey, can your kids show up to a swim meet tomorrow?
Is that your recruiting technique now?
That probably worked pretty well. So anyway, we show up to the meet, me, my younger sister and younger brother, and like we win like 5 events each. From then on, I'm like, all right, I guess I'm a swimmer. So that's really, ultimately what I did. I swam through high school. I kept doing track, but I didn't do the other sports after sophomore year. And then I went to Bowdoin, swam there.
How do you find your way to Bowdoin from the Midwest? And
oh, that's a good question.
From a big public school to a small liberal arts college.
Well, yeah, it was interesting because in our high school, sadly, a lot of kids didn't go to college. My college advisor never even heard of Bowdoin. My dad had gone there, and my uncle, my mom's dad had gone there. That's how they met.
So what did you study at Bowdoin?
I studied biology and environmental studies. Okay. At the time, I really wasn't sure what I was going to do, but my sophomore year, I started coaching the local swim team at Bowdoin. and really
like a youth team.
A youth team, yeah. They trained at the college there, and I really enjoyed it. That kind of planted the seed, like, this wouldn't be like a bad thing to do after college. I always loved my swim coaches. Always seemed like they had like a nice lifestyle, really enjoyed what they were doing. And so that planted the seed a little bit as far as like going into the teaching coaching realm.
So I was going to ask, you know, when did you know you wanted to be a teacher? But it sounds like the coaching was sort of the first step, and then you have a biology degree, so there you go, right?
Yeah, that's it in a nutshell. Cliff Little, who was, you know, head of the science department at Hill at the time, was a Bowdoin grad. Late in May, they had an opening through the Ford Foundation. I'm not exactly sure which part of the Ford Foundation it came to, but it was for an intern for a year. Basic gist was teach 2 science classes, coach 3 seasons, live in the dorm. So Cliff just called up Bowdoin, said, hey, we need somebody that can work in our aquatics program and teach science. Who do you have?
So the choices were pretty limited at that point.
Yeah, like I had some job offers like at Hebron and a couple other small schools in Maine, but I was like, I don't think I'm doing it. I mean, they were really rural.
And what was your impression? You arrive on this campus.
Couldn't believe it.
What year was that?
It was awesome. 1980.
So.
I leave Maine. It's like cold and dreary. Had been all spring. It's like 40 and raining.
Shoulder season in Maine is tough.
Yeah. I get down here. It's Strawberry Festival day. It's like 80 and sunny. Kids are having a great time. I'm like, man, if they offer me a job, I'm taking it for sure.
So no one's in dress code. Everyone's hanging out on the quad.
Totally hanging out.
Signing yearbooks. You have no idea what this place is all
nothing,
about.
Nothing.
Looks great.
Yeah. I'm like, looks great.
So when we talk to kids these days, obviously they don't have a great idea of what Hill was like in 1980 or 1981. Walk us through a little bit of what the school was like then.
Well, it always has had, you know, great students and great teachers here. That is for certain. Like, I was surrounded with, like, awesome mentors everywhere I went, whether it was, you know, in the science department with Cliff and Jim Tao or Rick Walworth, was maybe, like, in his early 30s at the time, but already a really well-established teacher in athletics. Had Dave Mercer running the athletic department, had incredible coaches down there like Dick O'Shaughnessy. Like, everywhere I went, I was surrounded by experts. And I think, you know, Chuck's basic thought was, hey, the guy probably won't do much harm, and maybe he can help us out, prove useful one day. So,
were you ever mistaken as a student when you first got here?
Oh, yeah. I can distinctly remember Frank Groton, one of the senior masters here at the time. I don't think they called them senior masters, but they might have, even though it was an official designation. One time, giving me like a really hard time about something, said, shouldn't I be back in class or dorm or something? I'd explain to him that I was a teacher here. He's like, well, whatever, go do whatever you're supposed to be doing.
Right. Because I think your image or something appears about you on social media, we have a lot of alumni that remark, you know, doesn't look a day different than he did when he first got here 40 years ago. And so what do you think has been the fountain of youth for you here at Hill?
I think one, like, just trying to focus on the things that I can do something about and not get wound up in the things that are totally out of my control. So just trying to keep, like, pressure on myself, I guess, to a minimum. Everything I do, I try to do my best at, and the things that are out of my control, I just try to let it just roll like water off a duck's back. Sometimes that's easier said than done. Exercise has certainly played a huge role for me. Like, I like being in shape, so my lifestyle involves, you know, getting some solid exercise like every single day. I'm sure that's helped my youthful bit quite a bit. Being around young kids every day, I think, keeps you young for sure.
You've mentioned a few things that are quite different than they are today, you know, all boys and some other things. What would you say are maybe the 4 or 5 biggest changes that you've seen in 40 years at Hill?
Well, for certain, the single most important is the co-education.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no comparison at all. That everything else that's changed, the facilities are much, much nicer. Their salaries are much, much greater. We're able to retain faculty because of that, attract great faculty, keep great faculty.
So you're not being paid $7,200 anymore?
No, that has changed for the better, that's for certain. Faculty diversity is much, much, much improved. Student diversity, there's no comparison.
How about academically? And, you know, you've been teaching, I know you've taught a few different things over the years, but my sense is that biology has been the most constant for you. I know you've taught environmental science, maybe geology at one point.
That's right.
But you've been a part of the overall faculty and understanding the curriculum. I think you've been department chair, so you've certainly seen the curriculum evolve. What do you think are the major changes there in terms of how we teach and what we teach? And I'm talking about just in the classroom.
I think for me in general, as I've gotten older, I've really like embraced the fact that it's not that important exactly what I teach at any given time. It's really that I teach kids how to learn, whether they're learning how to, you know, how to dress properly or behave properly or learn about biology. You know, a lot of the school, as far as kids under the age of maybe like 21, 22 years old, is really like getting their mind to develop to its maximum potential. And a lot of experts say to do something really well, you need to repeat that like 10,000 times. So if you want to be great at solving some math problem, you have to work like that kind of problem about 10,000 times before your brain's going to probably do it as well as it's going to do it. So I often like impress that upon our new students coming in. I love teaching the new kids because you get to teach them about Hill as much as about science. Is that, you know, you may or may not like what you're doing, but there's a reason why you have to take all these different classes, and it's so that your mind will develop as fully as it can while it possibly can, and that'll serve you well in the future.
So maybe a better question is, what hasn't changed about the Hill, and are those things that our alumni hold so dear still true here at Hill?
That's a great question. I think everything about the Hill is better now than it has ever been. I really do. I don't know that like having 21 seated meals was ever a great thing. I certainly didn't look forward to going to them all, and I can assure you none of our alumni did either. Maybe in hindsight they're thinking, wow, that was great getting up at 7:05 for 7:09 seated, you know, breakfast and having David Eddie pull up your pant leg,
so
and realize
more,
you weren't wearing socks.
A little more like we had to go through it, make them suffer.
Yes, I think that's the basic gist of it. I mean, the physical location is still the same. Pottstown itself is much, much nicer than it was back when they were going to school here. All our facilities are much, much nicer than they were. I mean, even the pool, it's old, but, you know, the people down there that take care of it, they really take pride in taking care of it. It's more relaxed. It's more enjoyable to go to school here. I think most teachers are not teaching from the tough love side of things. So students really get to know their teachers much, much better. Our teachers, I think, as do our administrators, spend a ton of time teaching these kids how to do things the right way.
Yeah.
You know, everywhere they go. And
what do you think about the type of kid and the type of values and experiences that they have here? How do those relate to over time? And
I think it's still the same type of kid that goes to school here. You know, super hardworking, super honest kids that usually come from parents that are, you know, really like-minded in that regard. You know, the kids that go to school here, they're not snobbish, they're open, they're friendly. And that hasn't changed like at all. That's the same as like back in the day.
You mentioned diversity of students and diversity of faculty as being something that's been a big change. What is that like to teach students? I think this year we have students from 32 states and 32 countries. I'm sure that's quite different than when you arrived in 1980. And our faculty, you mentioned there were a handful of women on the faculty. Now we're 49% women. We have 18% faculty of color. How does that change, you know, for you?
I think it gives every teacher and student like a much better understanding of like what the big world is like. You know, a lot of people, I think, like to try to point out how different everyone is. And in biology, we try to point out genetically how identically similar virtually everyone is. And whether you're, you know, a student from Pottstown or you're going to school, I have one bio class. I mean, there might be a kid from every different state and five different countries all in the same bio class. They can learn a ton from each other, as I do as well. I can assure you over the years, I've learned a lot more from my students than all they'll ever learn from me.
Let's take a quick break as we talk about Mark Nelson's 40 years at the Hill. We also are celebrating 132 years of competition with the Lawrenceville School this coming week. On Saturday, the Hill School Blues will head down to Lawrenceville, New Jersey to face the Larrys, and it's going to be a great day. Hope you'll join us or watch online. Go Hill. Now back to Mark Nelson. So you met your wife here. Everyone knows Ellen. A lot of people in our alumni group know her by a different last name, right?
Right. Ellen O'Shaughnessy Nelson. When I came to Hill in 1980, she was still in college. She might have been maybe about a junior in college up at Ithaca. I'm not sure about that year. Her parents were both teaching here. Winnie was one of the few females on the faculty at all. And then Dick was dean of students, football coach, et cetera, and science teacher. So I knew them both pretty well. And then Christmas break my second year in Hill. So I think that would have been fall of 81, Christmas 81. Ellen was home from college her senior year. We got invited to, I don't remember if it was New Year's, but it might have been get together. And the rest is history.
And what did Mr. O'Shaughnessy think of this?
I'm still not really sure about that. He seems to like me okay now. No, they're an awesome family. It was probably good that
But he was legendary as like a big strong, tough
big time,
coach, right?
Big time.
So you had a little trepidation walking into that house and saying, I'd like to date your daughter?
Oh, for sure. Even like the first night we went out, she got home maybe a little later than he would have liked. So the next day while I'm in class, a student comes around and brings me a deanogram, a note to like report to the dean's office. So I'm like, oh boy. So kids still laugh to this day. They go, you must be the only faculty member ever to get a deanogram. So I have to go in there and tell Ellen's dad, you know, why we were out too late and apologize and this and that. I'm like, all right, that didn't go probably as well as it could.
That's a whole new experience for you, right?
Yeah. But Dick, you know, anybody knows Dick and Winnie. They're like the most understanding people in the world. They really are super genuine. And as
I bet you never made that mistake again, though, right?
Definitely not. No, that was... Not
so you
perfect.
Dated for a few years? And
dated
then...
for a few years. We got married in 1985 at a little church in Wolfboro, Mirror Lake, New Hampshire, just about a mile from the O'Shaughnessy's place up there in Wolfboro.
So you were married for a couple of years before she came to campus. Well, she was living on campus, but before she came on as an art teacher.
Right.
So she's now worked here for almost 35 years?
That's exactly right, 87 till now. So, you know, it's... awesome having us on the same schedule, summer schedule, school schedule, et cetera. And I mean, you know, she's really loved on campus. She's, you know, much like her parents, super honest, super hardworking, super reliable. I mean, Ellen is really awesome. She helps keep me on the straight and narrow. And when I get fired up about something, she can like talk you off the edge.
I've noticed that. She's helped me a few times with that.
Yeah. I mean, she's unbelievable in that role. And, you know, kids are totally honest with me after they've gone to the Hill. They're like, hey, you are a good teacher, but your wife's like a lot better.
I think most of us hear that. What about you have two children and they both went to Hill. What was it like being you show up here as a 22-year-old and you've now had your two children go through here, graduate. That's got to be a huge life experience for you.
It is. I mean, Hill is an amazing place to have your kids grow up. I mean, it's safe, it's secure. There's a ton of young kids to play with. You have all the older kids, so your kids learn, even when they're young, like how to act more like a older kid could or should.
My recollection is that when Ellen was here as a faculty child, obviously we didn't have young women here, so she went to St. Andrews. When Marie was born, by my math, Hill was still all boys.
Yeah, we were. Marie was born and Tom, too. Marie was born in 92 and Tom was in 95, so definitely still all boys at that time. So no idea whether they might or might not, either one of them might or might not come to Hill, because it's not the right place for everybody. I mean, it's academically challenging, real academically challenging. So it's not the right place. It's not the right place for both of them. You know, it worked out well. By then, we were co-ed. By the time both of them came to school here, Marie, like you say, in class of 2010 and Tom in 2013. So I don't know if their own mind they thought for sure they'd always go to Hill or not. I guess I've never asked them that.
You and Ellen are quite well known for your Halloween costumes. Is that a fun time for you?
Yeah, it's really fun, but I mean, it's all Ellen. Ellen gets like 100% credit for that. I don't get anything. My stipulations are it has to be something I can put on in 5 minutes or less.
Run home from class, put it on.
Run home from practice. Like, yeah. We get out of the pool, say 6:05, and I'm supposed to be in my outfit in the dining hall at 6:15.
Do you even know what you're going to be this year?
Often I don't. This year I have no idea. Most years I have no idea until I like run in there. Every once in a while I'll have to have a fitting ahead of time, and then I get like a tip off on what I'm going to be. But she's unbelievable in that regard. I mean, whatever we do, it's always like eye-opening.
What's your favorite costume going back, if you can remember one? I remember Sonny and Cher being pretty good.
That was pretty darn good. Yeah, there have been some
last year
good
maybe
ones.
You were David Bowie, I think.
Yeah, or 2 years ago, whatever year that like the lantern flies were all over campus, we got dressed up as lantern flies. That was pretty hilarious. Yeah, David Bowie. I mean, I can't even think all the ones we've had. We one time went as like this old couple, and people literally were like helping us into the dining hall. I mean, thinking we really were some old couple.
What's the craziest thing that you can remember happening on campus during your time?
I'd have to think about that. I mean, a couple things that jump out. I remember the first times the guys walking out of like graduation and a few of them just launching into the Dell. And people are like, what in the world is going on? And a bunch more of their friends jumped in as well. I remember that being like eye-opening. That was a crazy.
That was like 1983, I think.
Probably. I don't know the year. But I know it didn't happen like when I first was here. It definitely didn't happen. And then a few guys walked around that corner coming out of the old hockey rink. They just launched right in there. They'd obviously planned it. I don't know if any of their classmates had. Next thing you know, there's like a stream of people funneling in there. And that was like a tradition ever since.
That must have been pretty cool, though, to see. You see it now, and it's so organized and orchestrated.
Yeah, kids are changing clothes and everything. I mean, they just jumped in there like with their blazers on and Gucci shoes and everything. It was like a sight to see.
Who has been the most impactful adult in the community to you over your time?
I think of the teachers who are around me when I first started teaching really, really shaped me. Like, they were not going to let me do wrong. You know, Dave Mercer, Dick O'Shaughnessy, Winnie O'Shaughnessy, Jim Taylor, Rick Walbridge. Those guys really took me in and really taught me, like, the right way to do things, kept me organized, kept me on track. Because you're, like, a young guy. And like, did things with me. I had nobody to go out with. Not a lot of free time either. Like, you're on duty like every night of the week back then. You coached 3 seasons. I mean, I don't know how I became JV baseball coach, because I'd played like little league, pony league baseball. I didn't have any business being like the JV baseball coach. I'd just be out there with like the fungo bat hitting the ball to the guys every day. And Mercer just say, doesn't matter, Nels. You'll be fine out there. You know how to coach one sport. You can coach any sport. And that's really the approach. And they would just support you that way. So I think about that. Like, those guys definitely had a gigantic impact on me. And I'll always be in debt to them, you know, for them reaching out and really helping me out.
Has there been a student who went through something challenging during your time, or that you helped through something challenging that has had an impact on you, that you've learned? I know most of us say we learn as much from our students as they learn from us, but has there been one experience here that you remember that?
I mean, Jody Calvario coming to school really jumps out of mind. I mean, amazing young girl, did everything the right way, worked super, super hard, and unfortunately just got dealt a bad hand in life, I guess, if you want to view it that way. Her getting cancer and ultimately passing away from it at such a young age, and such an amazing family, that impacted me a ton. Is that, like, you know, you better maximize every single day, because you just don't know how it's going to play out down the road. So that for sure has had a huge impact on me.
What's one thing that you would never change about the Hill?
Oh, most things I wouldn't change about the Hill. The structure of the day is super important. The kids taking a wide diversity of classes, getting them involved in as many different things as possible, whether it's sports or theater or writing, journalism, etc. Those are all really, really important. The whole dorm relationship there, you know, I think the requiring student support here, it's a huge thing. Like, we're preparing kids for college. Most are going to live at a college. Like you have to learn how to sort all that out, how to get along with other people. I think all those things are very important.
So today you're the head coach of the girls' varsity water polo team. You've been an assistant coach in the girls' hockey program. You mentioned JV baseball. I know you coached swimming for a long time. What am I missing?
I think that's it. Okay. Unless I had such a bad experience that I like blocked it out of my mind, and that's possible, but I don't think so. That's what I've done. Really, after my first year, I was down to just coaching the two seasons. So I did guys polo and guys swimming in one role or the other.
How did you get into hockey, though?
Hockey. I always loved hockey. Well, even when I was a little kid, like we grew up, there was never any ice. So I like didn't really learn how to skate, honestly, till I came to Hill. I mean, I could skate a little bit, but not really. But I just always loved hockey. I remember like laying in bed at night, like listening to the St. Louis Blues on my radio. They weren't on TV really hardly at all. And then I went to Bowdoin and hockey was like king on campus at Bowdoin. The game was just unbelievable. I just loved it. So when I came here, I like went to every game too. I started playing. They had faculty team back in the day that played sixth form teams. So I started skating, you know, and playing hockey very shortly after coming to Hill, and there still is today what they call the Sunday night showdown of all the
faculty members. I thought it was the huff and puff.
Well, that too. Really, that's how I got into hockey. I just think it's a really cool game, and it's really very, very similar to water polo. Yeah. What happens at a faster pace, but the offense, defense is the same. They're very, very similar games.
You've witnessed a lot of change to campus. Yes, we're in the same location, but there's been a lot of changes. What are your favorite places on campus, and what are some of the new facilities that you like or don't like?
Dining hall is awesome. It always has been. The new renovations on it just make it that much nicer. Opening up the Saunders room, it's incredible the difference. Like, kids love going to meals there. Most kids, even though we have fewer seated meals than we used to, they really look forward to it. And maybe because we have fewer, they really do look forward to it. So that's one of my favorite places.
You're about to get a new home.
About to get a new science building. It's really awesome seeing that go up. And truthfully, our temporary building is very nice aesthetically. It obviously doesn't look like much from the outside, but anybody that has the opportunity to walk in there and see what the classrooms are like, especially for the like physics classrooms, things like that, they were really, really cramped in the old building. In our temporary building, they're much, much nicer all the way around.
I have two final questions, and
okay,
then we'll wrap up. What advice would you give to yourself 40 years ago? And I guess a better question is, what advice would you give to any new teacher coming to Hill? How to make the most of this opportunity?
I think looking back on it, either for myself or a current teacher, you know, really just try to focus on the things that you can control. Try to be your best every day, encourage your students to be the best they can be, and try not to worry about the stuff that literally is out of your control. Like you want to give a test that day and the internet's down the day before and you just got to adjust. That's just how it is. You're coaching a team and your best player suddenly can't play. Well, it's too bad, but it happens. You just have to adjust, move on, make the best for it. So I think really, you know, focusing on the things that you can control.
One thing that hasn't changed in your 40 years and in the school's 169 years is the motto, whatsoever things are true. What does that motto mean to you? What does whatsoever things are true mean to Mark Nelson?
I guess it really means, like, you know, you're going to be judged, like, on who you are and what you do. And others are going to think about you that way. You're going to think about yourself that way. So if you're going to be true to yourself, you need to be yourself. Like, believe in what you believe in. Don't let somebody tell you what you need to believe and how you should do it. And just try to, you know, do things as you envision being the right way. And that's, I think, what we try to instill in our students all the time is, you know, there are certain ways to do things and there are other ways to do things. And, you know, try to be nice and polite and not speak poorly of people and things like that. You know, to me, that's like the most important thing I can teach the kids in my classroom or on the team or in my advisor group is, you know, be nice to people, be friendly, be open-minded. Don't try to convince them that your way is the right way and their way is the wrong way. You know, I think that's super important.
I promised only two more questions. This is a little bit rhetorical, but 40 years. I'm not sure what the record here is at Hill. I'm thinking it's a little more than 40, but are you going for the record?
I guess if I knew what the record was, I might. If the record were 40, okay, yeah, I'm going for it.
Let's say it's 50, Mark. Are you going for the record?
Oh, we'll have to see how it all plays out, I guess. I mean, I really like doing what I do. I mean, working with our Hill kids every day, it's awesome. Like, I look forward to it every single day. And lots of them, you know, they all grow up to be great people. Many of them come back to be great people working, like, with me every day. That's a ton of fun to see all that play out. I mean, I can't believe it's been 40 years. Honestly, I don't think of myself even being 40 years old. So the math really doesn't work out that way, I guess. But I don't really think about how long I might or might not keep doing it. As long as I really enjoy doing it and Hill is happy with the job I'm doing, I'll keep doing it.
Well, Mark, thank you for your time today. And thank you for your wisdom. And more importantly, thank you for all you've done for Hill students and faculty and friends of the school for 4 decades. Here's to a 5th decade.
All right, here's to a 5th decade. Thank you very much.
All right, take care. Well, that sure was interesting. Thanks so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed getting to know Senior Master of Science, Mark Nelson. Next up, we'll be interviewing Mike Rockovich, 6th former and president of the Student Government Association. Mike has an interesting story to tell, and I'm sure you'll enjoy hearing it. Thanks again, and don't be late for class.